Hello children, we are here to study the chapter gravitation. This chapter is already introduced in class 9 with universal law of gravitation, a brief biography of Sir Isaac Newton, Kepler's planetary laws 1, 2, 3 and acceleration due to gravity small g and its value, then the meaning of free fall on the surface of Earth. Then the difference between mass and weight, and weight of an object on the Earth as well as on the surface of Moon, and why it is varying, etc. So here we have to study the same chapter by adding little more details like gravitational potential energy, natural and artificial satellites of Earth, then communication satellites or geostationary satellites, weightlessness, etc. in detail. So let us start gravitation. Italian physicist Galileo Galilei, who recognized the fact that all bodies, irrespective of their masses, are attracted towards the Earth with a constant acceleration. Or in other words, time taken by the body to reach the ground, to touch the ground, is not a function of its mass. To demonstrate this, Galileo dropped different objects of same size but different masses, like paper, aluminium, copper, steel, etc. Of course, having same shape or spherical shape, from the top of this leaning tower Pisa, and requested his colleagues to witness the dropping of these balls and touching the ground at the same time. But people at that time were not ready to accept the fact that Earth attracts light objects as well as heavy objects equally. Even Galileo also could not explain this in his laboratory. Newton only explained this principle using his world-famous gold coin and feather experiment with the help of a 1 meter long glass tube in his lab at a later time. Galileo meantime did different experiments with the single and double inclined planes. He studied the relation between the distance traveled by the sliding body versus the square of the time. The apparatus used by Galileo is shown here in the slide, and the available apparatus in physics lab is also shown here. But at the time, since there was no clock, Galileo used water clock to study the relationship between the time taken by the body to slide and the distance or the displacements traveled by the body at the end of each second. Around 2000 years ago, Ptolemy introduced a geocentric model. Geo means geography, earth related, that you know all. So geocentric model means all objects in the sense sun like stars, other planets or their satellites, all of them are revolving around Earth. It was not accepted by people at that time. If you see from this east, Aryabhatta from India proposed the heliocentric model, but this did not reach the west. We honored Aryabhatta by naming our first satellites, which is launched with the Russian collaboration in the year 1975. That satellite's picture is also shown here. 1,000 years later, another scientist, Nicolaus Copernicus, proposed the same heliocentric model. And he explained the motion of sun, motion of Earth and moon and other planets around the sun. But it was not accepted by the church and the state authority. Being a strong supporter of Nicolaus Copernicus, Galileo also faced prosecution from the state side because of his strong beliefs. Continuing, the same time of Galileo, another scientist, Tycho Brahe, recorded many observations of planets, stars, etc. by simply night sky watching, without any telescopes. These data were analyzed by his assistant Johannes Kepler and arrived at three conclusions, which are later known as Kepler's laws of planetary motion 1, 2, 3, etc., which you studied in class 9. These laws were known to Newton, and he got inspired and he reached the universal law of gravitation. The apple is still there, around 350 years old. Many visitors are going and sitting under the tree and recollecting the old incidents, falling of this apple. Then Newton connected this falling story with that of moon. Why moon is not falling, or why earth is not falling? What is preventing the moon from falling down, or why the apple is not going up? That type of thoughts triggered Newton to arrive at the very famous universal law of gravitation. For that, he used some statistical data available at that time. He calculated the acceleration of moon revolving around the earth in an orbit of radius r suffix m, rm, and the acceleration due to gravity small g, that is 9.8, which all we know at this time. He calculated the acceleration of moon with respect to earth using the formula v square by r, that is the centripetal acceleration. Centripetal means central seeking, acting towards the center. Centripetal force is the force acting towards the center in all circular motions. Centrifugal force is the force acting away from the center in all circular motions. So the centripetal force gives us centripetal acceleration, that is v square by r. So here v in the sense the velocity or the speed. Being a circular orbit, the circumference of the circle will give you the distance to be traveled. That is the circumference of the circle. Here it is written as 2 pi r m divided by time taken for one complete rotation. So it is 2 pi r m by t the whole square into 1 by r m. It is ending with the 4 pi square r m by t square. Using the known values, the lunar month, that is t equal to 27.3 days. The radius is equal to 3.84 10 to the power 8 meter. Newton calculated the acceleration a suffix m, am, as 0.0027 meter per second square, which is very less than 9.8 meter per second square, that is the value of g on the surface of earth. So acceleration due to gravity on the surface of earth is 9.8 meter per second square, but the acceleration on moon due to earth is 0.0027 meter per second square. This clearly explains that this acceleration due to gravity is decreasing with respect to the altitude or the height or the distance. So acceleration of moon due to earth is inversely proportional to square of the orbital radius, or acceleration due to gravity of our earth is inversely proportional to square of the earth's radius. The ratio of these two, g by am, is coming around to 3600. That is also equal to 9.8 divided by 0.0027. Conclusion: the universal law of gravitation proposed by Newton goes like this. Every body in the universe attracts every other body with a force which is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. So the force F on a point mass M2 due to another point mass M1 has a magnitude F is equal to this parallel lines drawn along with the vector F. The force F gives us the magnitude, modulus. Magnitude of force F is equal to, the proportionality constant is G, M1 M2 by R square, product of their masses and inversely proportional to square of the distance. If you write in vector form, vector F is equal to G M1 M2 by R square, that is scalar quantity. Now the vector comes as minus R cap. R cap is the unit vector drawn between the masses M1 and M2. Unit vector means vector having magnitude 1 and only the direction. So to get the direction, we have to concentrate on the negative sign. Why negative sign is coming? See the next slide. If M1 is located with the position vector R1 in the vector field, M2 is located with the position vector R2, then the M1 and M2 masses are connected by a displacement vector R. using triangle of vector addition, we can write Rn plus R is equal to R2, or vector R is equal to, the displacement vector R is equal to R2 minus R1. If you see the sign convention, the force is always attractive. The first object M1 is attracting the second object M2, or the second object M2 is attracting the first object M1. Magnitude wise, F12 is equal to F21, but the directions are different. That's why in vector field, we write F12 is equal to minus F21. Either you can draw a vector symbol at the top of the alphabet, or you can write the alphabet, say F in bold, which will represent a vector. So F12 is equal to minus F21. One more thing. When you say the first object is attracting the second object, or the second object is being attracted by the first object, the distance or the displacement vector which you are starting from the second body and we are ending at the first body. But the triangle of vector addition gives us the R vector, say, towards the right side. But the actual distance measurement is going towards the left side, according to this slide. That's why the minus R is coming in the expression for F, the force. If many objects are involved simultaneously, then we have to apply the law of superposition. Principle of superposition we have to apply. What is the principle of superposition? We have to consider two objects at a time, ignoring the presence of other bodies. For example, when you are concentrating on M1, mass M1, you have to calculate the force due to the other mass, the second mass M2, ignoring all other masses. Then with respect to M3, ignoring all other masses. Then with respect to M4, ignoring all other masses, etc. So the expression goes somewhat like this. Force, total force F is equal to F1 plus F2 plus F3 plus, etc. Total force F is equal to F1 plus F2 plus F3, etc. If you are concentrating on M1, the force acting on the first body, that is F1 is equal to F21 plus F31 plus F41, etc. What is this F21 or F31 or F41? That is G M2 M1 by R21 square along with the unit vector R21 plus G M3 M1 by R31 square along with the unit vector R31 plus G M4 M1 by R 41 square along with unit vector R41, etc. So if you replace this unit vector R21, R31, R41, etc. by vector R21, R31, R41, then the denominator will become a cube term. Now it is R square is coming, that R square will become R cube. So the force of attraction between a hollow spherical shell of uniform density and a point mass situated outside is just as if the entire mass of the shell is concentrated at the center of the shell. If you talk about a hollow spherical shell of uniform density and you are studying this force of attraction at a distant point, then the whole mass will concentrate at its center, giving us a point mass with respect to the distant object. So the point mass, point object is nothing but the distance of measurement is larger than the physical dimension of the size of the object which you are considering in that particular case. So when you are at a faraway point, talking about a hollow spherical shell, then also we can assume that the whole mass of this spherical shell is concentrated at the center of that spherical shell. So the force of attraction due to a hollow spherical shell of uniform density on a point mass situated inside is zero. When you go outside a point, the whole mass is assumed to be concentrated at the center. It is behaving like a point mass. But when you bring the observation point to the center of the spherical shell, what happens? This central point is attracted by the all other sides, 360 degree, surrounded by this 360 degree, there will be attraction upward, downward, sideward, left, right, etc. So all these attractions are canceling each other and the force of gravity at the center is equal to zero. Or in other words, the force of attraction at the center of our Earth is also zero. This gravitational constant capital G proposed by Isaac Newton is experimentally calculated by another scientist, Henry Cavendish, in 1798, and the value obtained is 6.67 10 to the power minus 11. For that, he used a rod AB, freely suspended from a torsion head. Two small spheres are attached at the ends of this A and B. Very near to it, diagonally opposite sides, two big spheres were kept. And as this S1 and S2, which are shown shaded here, brought very near to this A and B, the rod AB starts slightly tilting or rotating. As torque will be developed within that rod AB because of the gravitational force of attraction exerted by this big spherical objects on the tiny spherical balls kept at A and B. So by knowing the force, the gravitational force Fsgmm/d², where capital M is the mass of the big sphere, small m is the mass of the small sphere, and d is the distance between these two, we will get the value of this force. Then comes the torque is equal to force into the length, where length is the L is the length of the rod, which is also equal to the moment of couple we studied already in rotational motion chapter. It is equal to tau theta. So in linear motion, we use the force formula F, which is responsible for motion of a body, translatory motion of a body, straight line motion of a body. In angular motion, the objects, they turn or they rotate. So the responsible factor here is torque. Torque is nothing but one of the forces into the perpendicular distance between these two forces. The line of action of these two forces are separated by a distance L. So torque tau equal to F into L. Now, by knowing this torque and the angular displacement theta, Cavendish experimentally calculated the value as 6.67 10 to the power minus 11. YouTube links are given at the end of this module. Please go through that and you will get a clear understanding of Cavendish experiment in the calculation of acceleration due to gravity, gravitational constant capital G, then the rotational motion, the torque tau, and the work done, that is tau into theta, etc. Thank you.